Hello and welcome to The Marvelous Duo. I'm Matt.
And I'm Kate. Today we are back talking about Age of Ultron, which was the second Avengers movie, and it was made in 2015.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It is. Unfortunately, it was directed by Joss Whedon, so we'll just move past that and get into it. So this movie starts off, we see the Mind Stone in Loki's staff.
Yeah, the Avengers are attempting to get Loki's scepter from Hydra that's got it at a base in...
in Sokovia.
Sokovia, thank you. I just went blank on what country it was.
But we do get a really cool fight scene in the woods where you see all of the Avengers in slow-mo. And that shot is really cool, but I will say the CGI in this shot was terrible.
Yeah, especially Thor, just before the slow-mo shot, there's some stuff where Thor is fighting people and the CGI on him is terrible. And honestly, I thought the slow-mo group shot was really cringy.
I thought it was really cool when I saw it in theaters. I remember that seeing in theaters and being like, whoa, they're all there. We get a whole group shot.
Yeah, I think in theaters it wasn't as bad, but going back and rewatching it, it's just cringy because it's just, it feels like fan service.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily done well.
And we do get some strange lines. Like, I get it that Captain America is like this old man that's in a young man's body. But you get a scene where I think it's Iron Man says the S word. And you get the running joke of language. And I don't know. I felt like it was really forced. Like, I just feel like they're all adults. If one of them in a life or death fight says the S word, good on them. Because I'd be saying a lot worse if I was fighting Hydra agents.
Yeah, the language joke from Captain America that just goes with language, and they joke about that the rest of the movie. And it's like, it's okay. You know, we get some one-liners from Hydra. There's a line where the two leaders, it's Baron von Strucker and some scientist guy, and one of them's like, can we hold them? And the response is, they're the Avengers. Obviously we can't. Which brings up a point of, if that's your view, why are you doing anything against them?
They also make a point to say to focus on the weaker ones, and they don't necessarily say who those are, but I'm assuming they're talking about the ones that are not super, Clint and Natasha. They're just really good at what they do, but they're not like mutants or super people.
Which, I mean, Iron Man isn't a super person, but he has a suit.
He has a super brain.
Fair.
We also get to see the Iron Legion, which is suits with no pilots.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of Iron Man robots, essentially, that have been doing cleanup for the Avengers in the 3 years since they became a thing, apparently. What I find weird is that the Iron Legion is speaking English to Sokovians, and that doesn't make any sense.
True. We also see that the people that are in Sokovia, they want them to go home. You see signs everywhere and people say, like, Avengers go home. Like, they don't want them there because they're causing a lot of destruction. Like, they're not causing it, but with the fighting that's going on between them and Hydra, they're causing a lot of damage. We also get our first interaction between Quicksilver and Hawkeye.
Yeah, they introduced the Maximoff twins. They introduced them in an after credits scene, but they actually show them in this, and Quicksilver is sent out and is messing with Hawkeye by just catching his arrows, and then comes and hits him and is like, oh, you didn't see that coming? And that kind of becomes a going thing between them for this movie.
We also get to see that Jarvis is giving directions from space.
Yeah, Stark's got satellites and stuff out now.
Yeah, we get a really cool thing between Thor and Captain America where Thor uses his hammer, Mjolnir, and uses his thunder on Cap's shield, and it creates a force wave that takes out a bunch of Hydra agents, and so that's really cool.
Yeah, it is cool to get to see them working as a team that has been working together. That is one of the coolest things about this movie, is that we actually get to see the Avengers as a team, not just figuring things out in the heat of a battle.
And so this movie is where we are introduced to Natasha calming down the Hulk and using the lullaby type thing that she does where she says the sun's getting real low. And they never really explain it, but they make it seem in this movie they romanticize the relationship between Natasha and Banner, but they don't ever really address it.
They romanticize a relationship that has taken place over the course of 3 years completely off screen. honestly, I think that's something that has started to permeate the MCU a lot, especially in Phase 4. I don't want to, you know, jump ahead too much, but I feel like right around Age of Ultron is where the MCU kind of starts to go downhill a little bit in characterization, because there's so much that is built off of things that happen off screen. You just have to connect the dots yourself.
Yeah, that's true. We also get to see how scary the Scarlet Witch actually is. We get to see her use her mind powers. So the Scarlet Witch gives Tony a vision of all of his friends dead in this big pile. He runs up to Captain America, who's barely hanging on, and Captain America says, "You could have saved us. Why didn't you do more?" And you realize in this moment that Tony has PTSD from the Battle of New York.
Yeah, it's interesting to see his greatest fear is directly connected to his PTSD, because it's not just all of them dead. It's also you see the space whales from the Chitauri and all of that. And it kind of shows it is directly connected to that. They are intertwined.
So they head back to the Avengers Tower. We actually see in the Quinjet on their way back to the Avengers Tower that Banner is listening to music to keep himself calm.
And when they get back to the tower, we see that Stark Tower is now officially Avengers Tower, something that was teased in the first Avengers movie when all of the letters except the A fell off. Now that A has been converted into an Avengers emblem.
And we also get to meet Dr. Cho, who...
Dr. Cho is friends with Dr. Banner, but she just kind of appears in Age of Ultron. She's friends with the other scientists. She's made these ridiculously cool advances in artificial flesh for the sake of injuries, which we see when they are taking care of Hawkeye, who was injured during that fight. So they have like a graft that is technically artificial, but it meshes to his skin really well. Dr. Cho invented that, and she becomes important later on in the movie. But for now, she's just kind of there.
We also see and find out that by studying the Maximoff twins, that Wanda, her power is based in neuroelectric interfacing to other people's brains. So that's how she's able to create these visions. And the dynamic between Banner and Stark is very interesting because they are both brilliant in different ways. We also get to see that Jarvis is a user interface. He's a UI. And inside the Mind Stone is artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And that is where Tony, unfortunately, creates Ultron.
Yeah, he's had this idea for quite some time of creating Ultron, creating an AI that could be used to protect the world, because Tony's entire thing is there are interstellar threats that we don't know about. We have just experienced them in New York. Obviously, we know he has PTSD.
Yeah.
He's still dealing with that.
His fear is pushing him past the normal bounds of what is appropriate for science to take its due course. And he even makes the comment, "I see a suit of armor around the world for protection," because he is traumatized from New York and he never wants to be again.
And it leads to very bad things because he's blinded by fear. So he sees it as an ambition to protect when it is really more of fear driving him.
So unfortunately, Tony creates Ultron and tries to interact Ultron with Jarvis so that Jarvis could maybe teach Ultron how to think, how to do. And Ultron immediately overtakes Jarvis and builds himself a body.
Yeah, he uses pieces from the Iron Legion to create a body while everyone else is having a party to celebrate because they got Loki's scepter. It's been, I think, 3 days. Tony's been working on Ultron. He just leaves it to do an automatic thing because he thinks that he's failed, and they go and have their party. Some fun stuff happens during the party.
Yes, it's very interesting to see Jane and Pepper in the same room. They both have very big egos.
They do. It's interesting. It's not necessarily something that we see until they are together.
Yeah.
But then they are comparing their superhero boyfriends, and it's amusing. We also get our Stan Lee cameo because he's playing a veteran that ends up talking to Thor, who is drinking Asgardian alcohol and is like, "Yeah, you guys can't take it." And there's these veterans that are like, "We stormed Normandy Beach. We can take it." And then the next shot is Stan Lee being carried away, going, "Excelsior," which is great that they included that in one of the movies.
Yes, we also get some news information that Falcon is looking for Bucky on Steve's orders. And we're still seeing that weird chemistry between Natasha and Bruce. And they're heavily hinting that there may be a relationship.
Yeah, it seems to be something they are implying has been talked about before or has been implied before. Again, completely off screen, though.
And then we get the wonderful scene of this movie where Mjolnir is sitting on the table and they're all sitting around talking about it and talking about who's worthy.
Yep, they're all discussing whether it is science or magic. Stark seems to think that it is connected to Thor's biology and it is just highly advanced science. But we get everyone attempting to lift Mjolnir, including Bruce Banner, who attempts, fails, and then tries to freak everyone out like he's going to turn into the Hulk, but no one believes him. And that's kind of funny. And then
Tony tries to pick it up by himself in the Iron Man suit first. Yeah. And then
he and Rhodey both get the gauntlets from their suits. They've got jets going. And even together, they can't do it.
And then we get where Steve Rogers tries to pick it up.
Yes. And the angle of it is just right so that you can see Mjolnir as Steve attempts to lift it, and Thor's face behind it as we see Mjolnir ever so slightly budge. Just a little bit. Not enough for anyone really to notice it or comment on it, except we see that Thor does notice. And I think that that is a very fun way of hinting at things. This is probably one of the best scenes in the movie because of this. When we get to the end of Phase 3, we'll have more to say about this. But for now, he's not quite worthy. But there's the potential there.
Ultron decides that he's going to crash their party after he's taken and made himself a metal body. And thinking about Ultron and what Ultron is, Ultron's pretty freaking scary. His CGI is really bad, but the idea of Ultron is terrifying, especially when you think about AI that has access to the internet.
Yeah, I think the CGI later on isn't as bad, but that initial construction of his body using the Iron Legion pieces, that CGI is very bad.
He also makes a comment that there's only one path to freedom, because he's still following Tony's protocol of protecting the world. But the way that he has interpreted it is that there is only one way, and that is for the Avengers to become extinct.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and it's kind of a theme that if you pay close attention, you'll see, is that most of the villains in MCU movies are attempting to shake up the status quo, and they're not always necessarily wrong, and the Avengers are working to keep the status quo, which isn't necessarily always right. So with Ultron, we very much get the attitude that every time someone has an AI in a movie is basically always the same. If I am supposed to protect the world, the thing that is making the world the worst is humans. So if you eliminate the humans, the world will be better off, which is the same insight in every movie where the directive is save the world.
Yeah.
When you take away the humanity or the morality of it. And that is the same thing with Ultron. It's not necessarily a new idea.
So they try to take Ultron down, and because he has access to the internet, even though they destroy his physical body, he escapes into the internet because he is artificial intelligence. He's just zeros and ones. He can travel that data stream. And we unfortunately see that Jarvis has been broken. And it's a very jarring scene because Ultron killed Jarvis.
Yeah.
And I think it's Banner makes a comment in reference to what remains of Jarvis. This was not defense. This was rage.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how much emotion is in the AI, in the completely computer character, because he is part Stark.
So our next stop is at a church in Sokovia, where we get backstory about the Maximoff twins, that a Stark missile killed Wanda and Pietro's parents.
Yeah, and then another missile hit their apartment and never went off, but the twins spent several days staring at this missile, waiting for Tony Stark to kill them.
Strucker also dies.
Yes, Ultron kills Strucker, which is very strange. There's no real reason for it, I think, other than Ultron takes over the Hydra facility that the Avengers were raiding at the beginning of the movie. Maybe he kills Strucker so that he doesn't have to worry about them trying to come in and retake it or something. But it is very strange to me that he kills Strucker. I think that is partly because the MCU just tends to kill their villains so that they don't have to bring them back. That is kind of another running theme with the MCU. That is kind of strange.
We then get to see Ulysses Klaue. He's introduced. He runs black market stuff. We also get hints of Wakanda.
Yeah, and Steve Rogers and Tony Stark both know about Wakanda, probably from the same source, Howard Stark, because he made the vibranium shield that Cap uses. So they both kind of know a little bit about Wakanda, but not a lot because it is still a secretive nation. But yeah, Ulysses Klaue is kind of an interesting character. He's kind of a side character in the comics, but the depiction of him in the movies is done very well by Andy Serkis.
We then go to a salvage yard on the African coast, and Ultron actually chops Klaue's hand off.
Yes, that is a reference to what will come later with Klaue. We kind of get the origin story of what he's known for in the comics, but, well, the reason that he's there is because Klaue is a smuggler who smuggles vibranium out of Wakanda, and Ultron is trying to get vibranium to make himself a body.
Yes.
An indestructible body.
So we get to see Clint and Natasha take care of Klaue's men while the supers fight. And we get another scene between Clint and Wanda where he says, "I've done the whole mind control thing, not a fan." And that's in reference to when Loki took over his mind in the last Avengers movie?
Yes. Yeah, because Wanda is going around affecting all of the different Avengers in different ways while they're fighting. Right before that, Quicksilver actually tries to catch Mjolnir. Because Thor throws it and Pietro is running very fast, tries to catch it and goes flying. Very funny. But then Wanda is affecting everyone and we see flashes of different emotions from the different Avengers in their various pasts and things. So we get...
Natasha gets sent back to the Red Room.
Yes, we see Natasha's pain.
Cap gets sent back in time to be with Peggy.
We see his sadness.
Thor is sent back to an Asgardian party.
That one is not actually back. That one seems to be a vision of something that hasn't happened because Heimdall is blind in that vision. And I think that one is Thor's fear, is him failing Asgard by not being its king.
And Banner is actually sent back as the Hulk.
Yeah, they get to Banner and they affect him and basically take away the part of the Hulk that has been able to contain itself lately, that listens to the lullaby from Natasha, all of that, and turn him into a big green rage monster.
We also get to see what Veronica is, which they reference several times. Veronica is the capsule that they have to catch the Hulk if he goes crazy and they're not able to calm him down. But Stark also mentions that he has a very big suit that if he hulks out, he can send it to capture him.
Yeah, we get to see the Hulkbuster armor finally, which... famous in the comics. We finally got to see it in the MCU. And the fight between the Hulkbuster armor and the Hulk is entertaining, but very destructive.
And after this, they have to go to a safe house. So Barton takes them to the only place he knows, which is his house that he's kept off the radars. He's kept off the files. And that's where his wife and kids are. His wife, Laura, and his two kids, which Natasha knows about it. Natasha knows Clint's wife and knows about his house. But all of the other Avengers are like, "What? When were you going to tell us about this?"
Yeah, the kids refer to her as Aunt Nat because they are friends. They are friends to the point that she is one of the only people that actually knows that he has a life outside of S.H.I.E.L.D. and outside of the Avengers. Now, my problem here, I have a lot of problems with this movie. I have a lot of problems with the MCU from this point on. But my problem right here is... why couldn't Ultron track the Quinjet? Because he probably could. It's got to be connected to something, some network. Ultron could probably track the Quinjet and find them at this safe house, but doesn't because the writers needed this to actually be a safe house for now, where emotional scenes can happen.
And Thor decides that he's going to leave because I think the vision of Asgard has really shaken him.
Yeah, I think he leaves to go get more information about that vision. He needs to find a place where he can see more of it, basically, and figure out what it means. But we do get some scenes between Clint and his wife where they are discussing him being on the team. There's a line where, you know, they're discussing whether he needs to be there or not. And he says, "You don't think they need me." And she says, "I think they do," which is a lot scarier because Clint, in a lot of ways, is the heart of the team, which is extremely important. And we see that more and more And I think this safe house, his family shows that like he is the only one that has a family. He is the heart because he has a heart. We also get a scene of Bruce and Natasha discussing whether they could have a family, whether they could do that. And neither of them can. They're both broken. He can't physically be intimate with someone, and she can't have children because of what they did in the Red Room. So we see the two of them are extremely broken, and we also see Tony and Steve have stuff to work out. We see that they don't agree on a lot of points, which will come up again later, but we start to see that divide between the two of them as they're chopping wood, or Cap is ripping wood in half.
Which is a very famous scene because Captain America has his shirt off and his like very sweaty, like beautiful muscles, and he just rips a log in half and all the women swoon and some men.
He has his shirt on. It's just very tight.
Oh, I feel like I remember him not having a shirt on.
It would have been better.
Well, I'll direct the next one.
There we go. That's what we need. You know how I simp for Chris Evans. So please direct the next one just how I would like it.
I will.
We just need 120 minutes of Chris Evans with no shirt on, sweaty muscles, ripping logs in half.
I'll make sure that happens.
Bestseller.
The next thing I have is that we go to Eugene Genetics, where Ultron has the cradle, where he's trying to make a real body, and he uses the Mind Stone on Helen Cho and her staff, and Helen Cho decides to help Ultron for now. And Nick Fury then shows up.
Not at Eugene.
No, not at Eugene. He shows up where the Avengers are at their safe house.
Yeah.
We find out that Thor went to see Selvig. He did not go back to Asgard.
Yes, Thor goes to see Selvig, and Selvig takes him to this mystic pool or something that...
called the Water of Sight.
The Water of Sight. Thank you for writing that down. And Thor has a vision of the Infinity Stones, but not all of them for some reason. But the important one, for now at least, is the Mind Stone, which he has a vision of these eyes in connection with the Mind Stone. We get clips of it. I think Thor understands it, or it seems like it later on. But during the process of him having this vision, it's going between him and Tony going to the Nexus, which is this internet hub in Oslo, where Ultron has not been able to completely break in to get access to the internet. Because if he can access the internet, he can essentially control the entire world. But something is stopping him. Some hacker.
This is a lore dump movie. There is so much lore in this movie. And that makes it a bad movie. Yes. I'm being real honest.
Yeah. There's a lot of buildup for the Infinity Saga. And because of how much they tried to cram into it, because this is an Avengers movie, we have all of the Avengers, we can do all of this lore, they dumped all of it in here, and it's too much. So, yeah, in amongst all of the lore dump, we get Tony going and finding out who it is that's stopping Ultron, which we don't find out until later, but it is Jarvis, who is able to survive and slip into the internet and has been fighting off Ultron this entire time. And so all of these different things are coming together and connecting. So we have Thor seeing the Mind Stone. We have Cho creating this body for Ultron, using the cradle and the vibranium. And we have Tony finding Jarvis. And like all of this stuff is going on at the same time. And then the rest of the Avengers go and try to stop Ultron from getting his body that he's creating.
And then the Maximoff twins decide to betray Ultron.
Yeah, they realize that he is not working for humanity, essentially. And they help out Cap, who is very good at making speeches. He makes a speech, and they swap. And it's interesting because I think part of it is that Wanda has more insight into Tony than Tony does. And I think that kind of helps inform their decision of helping them, because she realizes what his fear means, then she realizes a lot about him and realizes that he is a different person from the one that caused them so much pain. But they help out Cap in saving people as this train is going through this town from the fight that is going on, but they eventually get to the cradle, and Tony, because he has found Jarvis, wants to put Jarvis inside the Ultron body and with its vision. We'll just call it Vision because Ultron calls it his vision, which is actually straight out of the comics. But he wants to put Jarvis in there, and everyone is fighting about what they should do. The Mind Stone is actually already integrated into the body, and Thor shows up and makes Vision's birth extremely dramatic because he agrees with Tony. He has had this vision that has shown him what needs to happen and shown him that Vision is there to help them, and calls down lightning, kickstarts the cradle. Vision is an integration of Tony because of Ultron. So it's Ultron and Jarvis and the Mind Stone. And he just comes out and can change his appearance, gives himself a cape because Thor has a cape, and is talking to them about what needs to be done to take on Ultron. And it's interesting because Vision, as a way of showing them that he can trust, that they can trust him, lifts Mjolnir. I personally think that the only reason he can lift Mjolnir is because he is a clean slate. He is brand new. He has nothing that would prevent him from being able to lift Mjolnir.
And he hands it to Thor.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, okay.
And it's about the best way that he could show them, like, hey, let's do this. We're working together now.
Then we get the new UI, since Jarvis is now inside Vision, because Jarvis is Vision. And we get Friday, yeah. It's a female voice instead of a male, instead of Paul Bettany. It's the voice of Carrie Condon.
I don't know who that is.
Me either. But the Scarlet Witch then clears the Sokovian town, and the big fight scene happens between the Avengers and Vision, because Vision is now part of the Avengers. Well, I guess he's not part of the Avengers, but it's the Avengers and Vision, and now the Maximoff twins, versus Ultron and his army of robots.
Yep, he's got an army of drones, and he is lifting the town up into the air and is going to send it back at the Earth as a meteor, essentially, that will destroy the Earth or wipe all life from it to give it a clean slate and protect it, because that makes sense, but they have a huge fight.
The only one that's really a match for Ultron is Vision, so you get a big computer fight. The two computers are fighting each other, so Vision and Ultron duke it out while everyone else is fighting. There's also a weird kiss between Bruce and Nat.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to turn into the Hulk, and she kisses him and pushes him down a tube because the Hulk is who they need right at that moment because they're in a fight. And it's like, yeah, duh, Bruce. There's a big fight. You need to be the Hulk.
Yeah, and Clint is the only reason that Wanda becomes an Avenger.
Yeah, he talks her into it, and we see that she is very powerful. There's a shot later on in the fight where all of them are protecting the button that will send the town towards Earth, and she's just ripping drones to shred.
We also get to see Nat has really cool electric batons.
Yeah, she's got some cool tech. It's a really cool fight, and then they start to realize they have no way of actually getting everyone out of there, and Nick Fury shows up with what is left of S.H.I.E.L.D., of what S.H.I.E.L.D. was supposed to be. So they start loading up this helicarrier of all the civilians, and then they realize, all right, if we can blow up the town, these people won't have a home, but at least it'll protect the Earth. So that is the plan that they decide to do.
Pietro and Barton actually are in the front lines of it, clearing people, and they're still doing their bicker situation. They banter and play off of each other, and there's one point where Pietro runs by and Barton looks at him and pulls back his bow like he's going to shoot him, and he just whispers, "Nobody would know."
Yeah, that is another fun one. But it's also awkward because not long after that, Pietro sacrifices himself to save Clint, because Clint sees a child and there are drones coming towards him, and Clint like runs to throw himself between the drones and the kid, and Quicksilver pushes a car in the way but gets shot in the process because this Quicksilver is not as fast as other depictions of Quicksilver, and he apparently cannot outrun bullets. But
when Pietro dies, we see Wanda's power unleashes.
Yeah, because up to this point, she's just kind of been ripping drones in half a lot. When Pietro dies, Wanda immediately knows. It's one of those, like, you know, it's a twin connection, but also superpowers. She turns the drones around her into dust, which is insane.
And crazy scary. And Ultron steals the Quinjet.
Yeah, he steals the Quinjet, tries to get away.
The Hulk saves Natasha because Natasha is still on the Quinjet. And the Hulk kicks Ultron out of the Quinjet.
Yep, kicks Ultron out of the Quinjet and flies off in the Quinjet, not to be seen for a couple of movies. And they end up clearing out all of the drones except for one that Vision finds. And it's basically Ultron is a hive mind. You have to take out every single one of the drones or you haven't defeated him. Vision finds the last one and they have a conversation. This is after Thor and Tony blow up Sokovia to prevent it from causing mass extinction. But Vision and Ultron just have this conversation because they are both AIs with essentially the same directive, but different views on how to go about reaching them. And I think the main difference between them is that they both have emotions, but their main emotion is different. Ultron's is fear and Vision's is love.
Yes. Before they blow up Sokovia, there is something that happens. Wanda leaves to go find Ultron. She abandons the core and leaves it unattended to get revenge for Pietro dying. And she rips his metal heart out.
Yeah, he asks how it felt. And she, like, rips out the metal bit of that is essentially where his heart would be. And she's like, it feels like this.
It's a very intense and emotional scene. But Vision does kill Ultron. And Vision saves Wanda before they blow up Sokovia. And I think that's the beginning of where we start to see the Vision and Wanda friendship and then romance start to happen.
Yeah, I think that's the very beginning of it. And we get a little bit more of it later on as well.
So after the Sokovia incident, there's just a giant crater left where this town was. And they got out a lot of people, but they caused a lot of destruction. And people are unhappy that everywhere the Avengers go, death and destruction follows. And though the Avengers are just trying to help, it is true that death and destruction follow wherever they go. So Barton goes home and Tony builds a new Avengers facility in New York. Helen Cho and Selvig both end up working there. And Natasha ends up looking for Bruce because Bruce kicked Ultron out of the Quinjet and then stole it and then was not seen again.
Yeah, we see that Clint's wife had the baby, who is named Nathaniel after Natasha, but Nathaniel Pietro Barton, which is very cool. And yeah, Thor leaves to hunt down the rest of the Infinity Stones.
He knows where four of them are, and he's looking for the others.
Yeah. So up to this point, we have encountered the Reality Stone in the form of the Aether. The Mind Stone is currently in Vision's head. The Space Stone is the Tesseract, which is in Asgard, and
the Power Stone, which was in Guardians of the Galaxy. But Tony leaves also, and we are left with a scene of Captain America training War Machine, Falcon, Wanda, Vision. There's an Avengers Assemble tease, and basically Captain America's training the next group of Avengers to join them.
Yeah. Now, before we get that, there is the scene where they are discussing what happens if you put Mjolnir in an elevator.
Is the elevator worthy?
Yeah. Is the elevator worthy? No, it's just an elevator. It's Steve, Tony, and Thor. And Steve and Tony are trying to encourage Thor and make him not feel bad about the fact that Vision was able to lift Mjolnir. But it is one of the most famous scenes from this movie, probably because it's one of the funniest. And that seems to be the thing that Joss Whedon can do the best, is humor, but not much of anything else. Yeah. So, yeah, and then the end of the movie is the new Avengers being trained and Steve just going, Avengers, and then it cuts out because we don't get that yet.
And then we get our mid-credit scene, which is a tease of the Infinity Gauntlet. And it's Thanos doing the, you know, the popular sound on TikTok right now, the fine, I'll do it myself.
Yep, that is also one of the most famous things from this movie. Which, interesting about it, is that people have pointed out since it came out, he had nothing to do with Ultron. So him just saying, fine, I'll do it myself, doesn't make any sense. Because it implies that he's had his hand in everything up to this point and it hasn't been working. And that's only true of the first Avengers movie. He had nothing to do with this one. So it's a little weird, but it is still a really cool tease of what is to come in Phase 3.
Yes. And the end credit scene is not actually a credit scene. All it is a black screen that says the Avengers will return. And that is Avengers Age of Ultron. So now we can rate the movie. So as a movie, what would you give? We'll do movie and then superhero movie like we normally do. As a movie, what would you rate this? I'm giving it a 3 out of 10.
I was gonna say two, but there are a few scenes in there that I like quite a bit, so I'll bump it up to a 2.5.
So I'm good with a compromise of 2.5. As a superhero movie, I'm going to give this one a 5 out of 10 because I still didn't like the movie, but it was very superhero-y. There were a lot of supers.
There were a lot of supers. There were a lot of superhero moments. There was a lot of powers being thrown around and stuff.
But it was still a bad movie.
It was still a bad movie. I think for a superhero movie, I would have to go around a 4 just because for being Ultron in this movie is a very generic AI robot villain. And if there's one thing that you can gauge a superhero movie by, it's the villain. And this one is just very bland. So superhero I'm going for.
Okay. Well, now you have our ratings. And we want to thank you guys so much for sticking with us. We've been kind of off and on posting. We want to thank Mikhail Bureau for our music, our intro music. You can find his links down in our description below. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We post most of our stuff on Instagram to notify when we're going to post. And we just wanted to thank you guys so much for listening. And we hope you have a marvelous day. See you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.